The songwriter says, "I know who holds the future." And since God holds that future, we can be sure it's in good hands. According to Bible prophecy, that future contains some dark days for planet Earth. A great battle will climax the end of history as we know it. For more details on what lies ahead, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Life as we know it will end in a final battle at the end of the age, a battle Erwin Lutzer is describing in our series, What is God Up To? In Revelation 19, we've seen the church in heaven for a great celebration. Now we'll see what happens down on earth.
I'll tell you what's happening on earth is that you have a period of great tribulation. And the purpose of the period of great tribulation is, first of all, that wickedness might literally run its course. The church is the salt of the earth. The church is the light of the world. And when God takes the church out, all wickedness will be rampant with incredible abandon. And that's when you have Antichrist raising himself and saying, I'm God, and people are actually believing it. If Shirley MacLaine is God, why can't the Antichrist be God? So people will believe that the Antichrist is God, and they will worship him. And those who do not worship him, the Bible says, will be put to death. It will be wickedness in its fullest dimension. Another thing that's happening during that period of great tribulation is God is preparing the nation Israel to accept the Messiah, because in the end, the nation Israel will look upon Christ and recognize him to be their brother and their Messiah. Paul says in Romans, so in the end, all Israel, the nation Israel that is in existence during that time, will be saved. So what you have then is Jesus Christ coming, first of all, to rapture his people. Then you have the period of great tribulation, and then he comes in glory. He said in Matthew 24, as the lightning goes from the east even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It is a glorious, triumphant return. And what will have happened at that time? All the nations of the earth, it says in Zechariah, will be gathered at Jerusalem. And so you'll have the Eastern Confederacy coming up, of course, from the Eastern countries, from Japan and China and maybe India. You'll have Europe coming from the West, and they'll all be gathered there at Jerusalem, and they'll begin that huge battle, that final conflict called Armageddon. And in the middle of it, Jesus comes. And all the nations of the earth forget their differences and say, we've got a problem that is bigger than our own squabbles. Christ is coming. Let's all train our guns on him, and let's unite and fight him. And that's what you have now in the rest of chapter 19. It says, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon himself which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Stop! Everybody stop! Everybody awake at this juncture. My dear friend, the armies clothed in white linen, we just read in the 19th chapter, are the saints! We're going to be with Jesus Christ at that moment. Those of you who didn't come with us to Jerusalem this summer, say, I want to go to Jerusalem someday. Fine. You're going to be here if you're a believer. You're going to take the final tour, probably even better than Lutzer's tour to Jerusalem. We're going to be with Jesus Christ, my friend, as he comes. And notice it says, verse 15, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who wins? Who wins? Oh, throughout the ages it has always looked as if Satan was winning. We put all of our money into abortion battles, and abortions still take place. We put our money into the drug war, and drugs still take place. We try to teach our children about righteousness, and then subsequent generations come along, and you have divorce, and you have all that. And you have pastors who stood up and warned their people about movies, and then we gave up warning people, and so they've imbibed it, and they've gotten hooked on various kinds of sensuality, and it looks as if Satan has won another round. And on it goes until it's so weary, I get so tired of it. Well, my dear friend, we flip to the back of the book. This is the way it's going to end. Christ is going to come, and when you look at the carnage that takes place here, it is so awesome that to our 20th century sensibilities, we say, you know, this offends me. Because it talks about flesh being all over. It talks about the birds coming to eat the flesh of those who have been killed by this war. And you say, oh, it's so gruesome, it's so ugly. Do you know why it's so ugly to us? It's because sin to us generally is not very ugly at all, and we don't know how bad sin is, see? We don't know how much God hates rebellion. We know that He hates rebellion. You learn that in Sunday school, but we don't know the extent to which He hates rebellion. What if Jonathan Edwards was right when he said the size of a sin should be gauged by the size of the being against whom it has been committed? Wow. What if that's true? Then even the smallest sin deserves harsh, complete judgment. And so Jesus steps on the scene. That's the first cataclysmic event. Christ returns in two stages. Now let me give you a second event, and that is Christ sets up rule in Jerusalem and rules on the earth. Oh, I know there are some people who don't believe that Jesus will rule on the earth again. And I just feel sorry for them because they're going to have to revise their understanding of prophecy. After it happens, they'll say, yeah, you guys were right. He's ruling on the earth. I have some very dear friends who say, how can Jesus in his glorified body still rule on this planet? Well, Jesus with his glorified body interacted with the disciples. Well, chapter 20, this is where the rule is specified. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I need to add a parenthesis here. There are some people who believe that there will be no millennial kingdom on earth. And so they think that this is the age of the kingdom, this is the age of the millennium, and therefore they also conclude that this is the age in which Satan is bound. And there's a very well-known counselor whom I have met, and we've had some interesting discussions, who has written books on the fact that when people come to you today for counsel, you can know in advance that their problem is never demonic, because this is the age of the kingdom, and Satan is bound. Well, my word. That's an interesting theory of counseling. I guess Satan, if he's bound, has a mighty long chain. Mighty long chain. Because there says there's a great chain in his hand, and it must be long enough to get all the way to Chicago and all the way to the West Coast, not to mention the East. We wouldn't want to leave them out. And what can we say about California? Now notice, you Californians, you know right well we love you. We wouldn't talk like this if we didn't. And you'll notice they threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. During the millennial kingdom, Satan will be bound. And after these things, he's got to be released just for a short time. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That is, those who were beheaded during the tribulation period who came to believe on Christ even though the church had already been raptured. But I want you to notice it says that they came and they reigned with Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor Luther, what are we going to be doing? You're going to have a glorified body. And if you're a believer, you will be reigning with Christ too. You say, on the earth? I thought maybe, you know, somewhere in heaven. Well, maybe somewhere in heaven eventually, but on the earth, yes. What does it say in Revelation 5:10? You need not turn to it, but you must listen carefully. I'll even read verse 9 to give you the context. Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Are you included in that? Now notice, and hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Now, there's so much that could be said about the reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth and our participation in that reign. Remember that those who go into the millennium are all believers, but they will have their earthly bodies because people will be saved during the period of great tribulation after the church has been raptured. But what can we say about the rule of Christ? First of all, he will rule over the entire earth. It says in Psalm 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask of God the Father. In fact, the Father says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And it says that he shall reign all over the whole earth. Also, he will rule with authority and power. He will rule with great authority and power. You remember that verse in Psalm 22, which I read to you a few weeks ago, and so I expect you to remember it, of course. It says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before thee. Look at that, all the families of the earth, all the families of the nations. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. Those who go down to the dust will bow before him. Everybody's going to worship the Lord. Now, remember that the reason it is necessary for Jesus to reign on this earth is, I've already emphasized, and pardon the repetition, that earth is the planet, you know, on which God decided to enact this drama. And it was here that the rebellion occurred. First of all, Lucifer, who said, I will be like the Most High, and he retained, as we mentioned in our first and second messages, he retained his power and his authority on the earth. And then Jesus put man there for conflict. He says, you take dominion, and it is here where man has not taken dominion over the earth. He can't control nature, but he can't even control himself. Look at the wars, the rumors of wars. Look at all the things that people are doing to one another. He can't get organized. He can't rule. If there's anything that history has proven, it is man's inability to rule. So what Jesus Christ is going to do is to come to snatch the earth from Satan and men and show that right in the sphere where they failed, he will succeed. And he's going to rule with absolute authority and power.
Yes, he will succeed. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more on his theme, The Final Battle, part of his series, What is God Up To? A big picture overview of God's purposes for planet Earth. On Monday's Running to Win, the exciting conclusion to The Final Battle. We at Moody Church believe this 8-part series will help you understand God's overall plan for the human race. What is God Up To can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, please call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. So how does the final battle come out? To find out, join us Monday for our next Running to Win.